Yes. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wow. You guys doing good today?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Doing good? Have you ever woken up and, like, how many people have a routine in the morning? Like, you just, every morning, it's pretty much the same. You could just, that is your thing every day. Thank you. Every day, that's your routine. Boom. Larry still has his hand up. you're still in your routine today. So today I woke up and you know when one aspect of your routine gets off, it's just like, you're like, what's going on in my life right now? So I get up, same as every day, walk over to get breakfast, and like the milk had just expired, and there's nothing worse than expired milk, right? And so I started scavenging, and I was like, I'm just going to find some other food, some quick stuff. I'll make it. It'll be fast. It'll be quick. And you know when you venture to that one part of, like, your cabinet where you just haven't checked or purged for a while? So this morning I get there, and I was like, I don't remember ever buying instant packets of flavored oatmeal, but I'm sure these don't expire. So... I grabbed a couple packets and ate them and was feeling a little queasy this morning, feeling a little bit better now. And I was telling Patty, I was like, I just want to throw up so bad right now. And I'm doing good. She was like, just look for a date on the box. And the top was like missing. And on the packet, it said, Quaker Oats, copyright 2011. And I was like, in Jesus' name, I'll be okay. So if I look pale or rush swiftly to that door, we all know what's going down. we're in between two series right now. We just ended with Dreamer, and we're about to start up with Fresh. And I'm excited because today we're kind of in this, it's in between series. And I just get to share something that's been on my heart. And Dreamer, we ended with looking at the dreams of Joseph and reclaiming the dreams we've had in our lives and looking at the original dreamer of what his dream for our life is and how to establish that and go after that. If you missed it, too bad, it's over. podcast it. It is on the website. It's there. Lighthouse805.com. And then we're looking at Fresh, this next series that really looks at, well, how do you establish a fresh lifestyle? How do you move out of the stale routine into the freshness that God has for you? Not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Fresh Prince of the Kingdom of God, I guess, if you will. Freshness. What are some practical ways to growing in this next life of yours? So that's my trailer, if you will, for next week. I couldn't think of the word. So I had two words just rolling around my spirit for this Sunday, and I was going back and forth of which one, and I had finally settled on it by Wednesday. This is the one I'm going to give. And then this morning I go up to Larry and say, oh, it's the other one, Larry. Sorry, change it. So I was in prayer and worship, and God said, no, it's this one. That one was for an individual, and this one is for corporate. It's so cool how God does things. Luke chapter 4. I wanted to pick up in this idea of Jesus right before he goes big. That right before he just launches into everything that is Jesus. Right before he launches into the ministry that would change the world. What happens with him on the mountain with the accuser, the enemy, Satan? What happens? Okay? So we're going to read this whole section, and then I'm going to just dialogue about what God was speaking in my heart about this. Luke chapter 4, pick it up in verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, People do not live by bread alone. That was the first thing that he said to him. There's three things. Verse 5, then the devil took him up and revealed to him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it to you all if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. That was the second thing. And lastly, the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Then I want to continue into the next part of the story and cut. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. It's interesting. I think it's only pertinent, and I understand now much greater why God was really speaking to me this morning to give this word, particularly right before the series Fresh. Right before we talk about expanding who we are in the kingdom and really growing into all that God has for us. Does that make sense? What does the accuser do right before Jesus, before he goes into all the freshness of his ministry? And I kind of want to parallel this of three ways that the enemy tries to attack us before we start growing into the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just making sure we're all ready. Number one, he tests us on what our flesh is craving. What you feel has been missing. Jesus has been sitting up there for 40 days. He's obviously hungry because it says he's been fasting. And the devil tempts him and says, you're hungry. Your flesh is crying out. Ask and it will be yours. Get some, turn these stones into bread. All right? You did it with the water to wine. Why not here? And so the enemy comes after our flesh. What are we craving? What are things that are coming after us? And the interesting thing is it's different for everyone. For a lot of people, it's, especially on the younger generation, that I'm really seeing is it's loneliness. You crave company of people, even though you're surrounded by people all the time. It's loneliness. Different generations deal with different things. What is your flesh crying out? And then I love how Jesus combats it. He combats it not with the fulfilling of the cravings, but speaking out the word of God. Does that make sense? He brings out, hey, this is what's going to cure this, not what's going to fulfill what you think you need. I was thinking about a story. Do you remember the time that I was crazy sick? Patty calls it the black plague. thanks, Piper. She's like, she's my favorite fan right here. I was in college 2006 or 2007-ish, and we were dating. We weren't even married. We weren't engaged. And I had gotten so sick. I had dropped. So I'm 6 foot. So like on average, you know, like weight, you should be around like 160, 170. That's like a 6 foot tall. I had dropped to 130, 125. Yeah, that's intense. Everything I ate, I kept throwing up every 15, 20 minutes. I became severely dehydrated. It was so bad. And my body, all it craved to do was just lie in bed. I just wanted to stay in bed, pull up the covers. My roommate, Jake Davis, he's probably going to listen to this podcast. I remember him coming in, and he'd always put a shirt over his mouth, like print the thing, whatever it is. He's like, see you later. Like, I don't want to get whatever you got. And it came to this point where Patty calls me up or texts me, was texting even out back then? I don't know. But God, I'm just kidding. She calls me up and says, are you okay? What do you need? I was like, I just need to sleep. I don't know. It'll just pass. Okay? God's going to heal me. And she's like, you know what? God also gave wisdom to doctors. I'm picking you up and taking you to the emergency room right now. And I was like, I don't feel good. I don't want to get out of bed. And I remember you came there. I got in the car. We went to the hospital. It was all a blur. And the doctor had to give me like this mega shot of something. And he's like, this is going to be really painful. I'm sorry. Just, you got to do it. And I remember he's like, okay, it's done. I was like, I didn't even feel anything. He goes, I think you're a little bit sicker than you think you are. And it was intense. But a lot of times, why I tell this story is this. I just wanted to lay there and just be okay. I just want to ride out the storm and I'm going to be fine. But sometimes it takes someone to come alongside us and say, this is what you need. It might be painful. It might hurt. You might be frustrated. I'm going to take you and let's do this. The enemy sometimes, he wants to come in and try to give us what will fulfill us in our flesh. So excited to see your grandpa right now. You're here. Number two, everyone say number two.
Number two.
The enemy loves to attack our identity. Attacks our identity. I see my identity. Have you ever noticed, even in clothing, we have everyone else's identity on us except for our own? You know, unless you're like on a baseball team or something. It's like you're Nike, Puma, I don't know, members only. Whatever's like, what's popular now? What's a brand that's like Adidas, Batman? I don't know. Superman, Star Wars. Don't get me started. I love Star Wars. Identity. He loves to come after identity. You know, the enemy tries to get us to walk in our presumed identity rather than take on the identity that God has for us. He tries to make us reason and twist our minds saying, oh, I can do this. And all of a sudden it becomes less of, God can do this through me. As we learned in Dreamer, dreams that come from God are impossible unless we do it with God. If you can accomplish it, that means you're walking in an identity that you have created yourself. It's not the identity that God has given you. Let's see about this. This story. I don't know if I've ever shared this with Patty. I don't know if it's ever come up. Math. Would you say I'm good or bad at math? Not this, but something else I'm gonna say. Do I enjoy math? A little too much. Math used to be one of my worst subjects. Did you know this? I did tell you. Math used to be one of my worst subjects of all time until one time a teacher came alongside and was like, okay, you aren't getting it because you're trying to memorize every step to everything. You can't learn math that way. You can't learn all the millions of steps to all the millions of problems. It's just going to aggravate you. That's not your learning style, Matt. And she goes, I got an idea for you. Why don't you try to invent your own ways to get to a solution? Look at the examples, see the beginning, see the end, and see how they got there, and come up with your own arrangement. And I was like, I can do that. That sounds like fun. Sounds like a video game, kind of. And so she's like, yeah, like a video game. You know, teachers will say anything to get you like excited about math or science. Joe Smiley's like, yep, every time. So I started doing that, and then I fell in love with trying to find the solutions in math. And then later on in high school, I love this. It was my peace of mind of just finding who I was through math. Rather than doing what everyone else said I needed to do, I would always try to do this. And it got to a point where one math class, I didn't really like the teacher. And I was like, okay, what do I got to do to get into this class? And she's like, you have to finish the book, kind of joking. And I was like, all right. I think a week or two later, I came back and handed her a stack of papers with the book and said, did the book. And she goes, what? She went through it all, and I moved into the next class mid-semester. Because that's how I work. I discovered my identity is if I'm able to take things apart and really wrestle with them more. That's how I read the Bible. So, some of you have heard me preach before, and I love diving into the Greek and Hebrew and seeing how it wraps around through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and seeing how it comes together in this context of today. It's because it all stems from this math problem, how I learn. I like finding my own solution and wrestling with the Holy Spirit and saying, is this what you're trying to speak to us corporately, individually, personally? How does this work, God? It's finding our identity. Finding our identity. Enemy loves attacking us in our identity. Once again, if he can get you thinking off of who I am in Christ and who I am, though other people say, it's lost. The enemy tries to attack you so much in that. The third thing, everyone say number three. Cool. Half of us are awake. The other half need caffeine. It's all right. Number three, he attacks your position in the world and the kingdom. In the world and the kingdom. The world and the kingdom. He's after making a fool of yourself where you're at. How do you combat it? By submitting yourself in worship. Fall on your knees, remind yourself. Remind yourself, Satan, and God the position of authority you have. I always know when I need worship. I always know. And it always comes up out of how frustrated I am at that moment with my family. My wife will attest. There are moments we'll be sitting there and someone will just do something, you know, Ollie will scream and I'll get like frustrated and I'm like, this is a moment I need to worship God. There are moments that Satan tries to come in and get us to just act a fool. You know, say something stupid to say, you know what I mean? Like something just dumb makes you mad for no reason and you just snap at someone. Am I the only one that happens to? Okay, everyone's quiet. I was like, I'm the only one, Lord. Like something just dumb sets you off. Like some coworker touches your mug and you're like, that's my mug. That's my face on it. Like, why are you drinking out of that? You didn't even wash it, homie. I'm just remembering my days at somewhere else I worked. Okay. That's not here. And it's like these little things. Those are indicators. It's a moment, God, I need to press into you right now. I need to praise you for where I'm at and worship you right now. It's those moments I'll catch myself, and if not, my wife catches me and says, you need some alone time. I'm like, yes, I do, you know? And it's those moments where you can just get away and say, God, I need to worship you. And when you go away, you'll be very tempted to be isolated and have the thoughts of the world circling around you. Think about this for a second. Satan kept trying to get God's mind, Jesus' mind, looking at the small things in front of him, the small problems in front of him, when Jesus was playing a bigger picture of the world and all of time. Satan will always try to get us hyper-focused on the small things when God tries to get us pictured on the big things. If you're so isolated and so concentrated on little things of situations and, well, they said this and I said this and they said this and then when I talk to them next and you start rehearsing those dialogues in your mind, that's the moment when God's saying, lay it down and just worship me. Spend some time with me and let me change your perspective off of the small, minute, silly things of this world onto the enormous picture that I've laid out in front of everyone. It's those moments that you combat the perspective of Satan with the grand scheme of God. I love that image. I didn't know if I was going to share this, but I think I am. It's not 7 a.m., is it? That clock's like way off. Okay. I was like, we'll change the battery for next week. This is just a deeper insight. I was studying this on this scripture. And when Satan brought Jesus out there and looked at Jerusalem, and it says, if you'd bow down before me, I'd give you everything that you saw. Here's the interesting, wild thing about this. Do you know Jesus was born with two inheritances? He was lineage of King David, and he's lineage of God. One inheritance, he could become king of man, and one inheritance, he become king of God. And at this moment, Satan goes, hey, I'll give you this inheritance right now. Become king of man. Take over where your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, King David, left off. It's yours. Impact Jerusalem as much as you want. And he goes, I got something bigger to play. I can become king of the universe of all time. And I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to compromise the little things for the big things. I think some of you guys, and me included, we need to really look at, are we compromising little things for the big things that God has for us? Just let that sink in. Satan's goal with Jesus, he wanted to keep him distracted from the calling that God had on him. He tried keeping Jesus up on the mountain to steal the authority God had given him. I think it's interesting, just the ending. I've really wrestled with this. What if Jesus said yes to any of those things? I mean, granted, we could always argue and say he wouldn't be Jesus. But, I mean, what if? Because I fully believe that if he had compromised, verse 14 wouldn't exist. We read at the beginning. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Have you ever felt compromised in any of those items? Your identity, things, perspective, whatever. You've messed up and you just felt compromised. God, you called me to do this and I'm messed up here. Can you still use me? Great news. Yes. Verse 14 exists not just for Jesus, but for us. Do you know this verse is actually a proclamation of the authority we have if we're willing to combat the first three and allow Jesus to fight our battles? Verse 14 exists for us. Think about it. Read this. Read it with your name. Let's read out loud. Let's just, for the fun of it, let's do this. Okay, read your name out when it says Jesus. Then Matt returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him or her spread quickly through the whole region. Imagine the big picture. Can you imagine that? What authority you'd have by saying, God, fight my battles. God, I'm no longer dealing with the small perspectives of life, and I'm going to deal with the large perspective of the kingdom of God. God, I want to take on the fullness of the Holy Spirit and walk into Galilee. What's Galilee? My hometown. My neighborhood. Everyone say my neighborhood. My neighborhood. I want to walk fully into my neighborhood with the fullness of the authority of God on me. What's the result? Does anyone know? It's on the screen. What's the last thing? And reports spread quickly through the whole region. I want Jesus to be famous. I want God to be famous. I just think it's wild to think this. Prior to the fullness, Satan loves to come in and just wreak havoc. And we can get stuck there before we even get started. Some of us might just be in a stuck state of mind. We might just be stuck there. We might just be going in circles there. Maybe you just need freedom today. You just need the love of Jesus to cover you and say, all right, say, I'm done running in the hamster wheel that you've put in front of me. It's over. Give me the racetrack from God that he has for me. I'm ready to plow it. I'm ready to go after it. Amen?